Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
I fear the wounds are fatal.
Do not grieve. Soon, I shall be one with the Matrix. But one day, an Autobot shall rise from our ranks and use the power of the Matrix to light our darkest hour. Until that day, till all are one.
Hello and welcome to Who Will Save Generation X, the trivia game show that is dedicated to remembering, celebrating, and preserving all the wonderful qualities of Generation X through games, trivia, and friends. I am Zabe, the host of the show, and I am very excited to be back with our third format of the show that we have added to the podcast. It's a shorter version of the game that we can release in between regular episodes of the show and the home games, where it's just the listeners versus the podcast to see how many points you can get. No prizes or ranks, just a quick mini game to satisfy that nostalgic itch for the pop culture of Generation X. We will also use this time to solve power struggles from a previous episode, as well as giving you a chance to help save Generation X from being forgotten in a special guest host segment of the show. To refresh your memory, here's the power struggle we are going to solve at the end of the episode. Take a listen. Do you remember where those five Gen X clips are from? Stay tuned to hear the answers at the end of the show, but for now, let's get right to the game that we call Who Will Save Generation X? Challenging Stage. Here's how the game works. We will have three fast-paced rounds of games to play and score points. In round three, we have a special guest host take over the show and quiz me for five questions. If you can get more correct than I can, then I invite you to use our website voicemail system and mock me endlessly.
I'll use small words so that you'll be sure to understand, you warthog-faced buffoon.
Or better yet, use that voicemail to call in and take over as host for a moment and ask me some trivia questions that we can use in an upcoming episode. Just go to our website and click on that blue microphone icon and leave us five trivia questions that you think would work well on the podcast. It's 100% free to use, and it can be accessed from any device that has an internet connection and a microphone. We would love to hear your voice on the show. So let's get going and save Generation X from being forgotten.
Round one.
For round one today, the judges put together a theme song. So let's hear a taste of it for the game we call Satanic Panic.
Just fine. Satanic
Gen X was no stranger to pearl-clutching parents who lost their mind when they learned what backmasking was. After that, it seemed like the devil was hiding everywhere in pop culture, and the satanic panic was born. For this game, I'll play parts of three popular Gen X songs, and you need to give me the artist and title of those songs. However, to honor those overprotective parents, we're going to play the song backwards, and unlike our parents, not hear any messages from Satan. Score yourself 1 point for artist and 1 point for title. 2 points possible for each song, since this is kind of difficult. We'll have one song from the 70s, one from the 80s, and one song from the 90s. Good luck! Song number one is from the 70s. Please tell me the artist and title for this song played backwards. Did you get this one? If you ever went to a sporting event during Generation X, then you have certainly heard it before. Let's take a listen to it and see if you're right. That song was Rock and Roll Part 2 by Gary Glitter. We learned several new facts about this song when putting together this episode. It was from Glitter's debut studio album titled What Else But Glitter. The song is in two parts. Part one is a vocal track with a rock and roll rock chorus and some verses reflecting the history of the genre, while part two is the more famous instrumental piece aside from the regular exclamation of the word hey in different tones as the only lyric. I had never heard part one previous to this episode, and I gotta say, it kinda sucks. Here, take a quick listen. See what I mean? Both parts of Rock and Roll peaked at number 2 on the UK singles chart, staying at number 2 for 3 consecutive weeks, and was kept off the number 1 spot by Donny Osmond's cover of Puppy Love. Speaking of Puppy Love and Gary Glitter, it turns out that the NFL, NBA, and other sports leagues issued requests to their teams to no longer play this song during their games because of how problematic of a figure Gary Glitter is. Starting in 1999, Gary Glitter was convicted in several trials for crimes against underage children, and the leagues kind of wanted to distance themselves from him and the song, as you could imagine. These are, of course, all new facts that we wish we would have known before including this song in our trivia podcast. Judges, please take note of that in the future. Oh, and by the way, judges, if the listeners just said the Hey song, do they still get a point? But that's not the name of the song. Do you still want to give them a point? I mean, I know that's how the song has come to be known, and if you Google Hey song or put it in YouTube, this song comes up. But that's not the name of the song. It's Rock and Roll Part 2. That's the correct answer. Do you still want to give them a point?
Zabe, what part of don't you understand?
What part of putting a song by a creep like Gary Glitter on the podcast don't you understand? Do better, judges. All right. Sorry about that, everyone. Moving quickly on to song number 2. Hopefully it won't be a song by a person worse than the last one was. Song number 2 is from the 1980s. Please tell me the artist and title of this song played backwards. You could not escape this song in the summer of 1986, even if you wanted to. It was nominated for Best Male Rock Vocal Performance at that year's Grammy Awards, but lost to Robert Palmer's Addicted to Love, another song you could not have avoided that year, frankly. Let's give the reveal a listen and see if you got it correct. The correct answer is Take Me Home Tonight by Eddie Money. Whew. I'm glad we went with Eddie Money to follow up that last one. I mean, who doesn't love The Money Man? Do you ever wonder what the lyrics to the song meant when Eddie sang Just Like Ronnie Said, and it was followed by a woman singing Be My Little Baby? At the time, I was like, who the heck is Ronnie, and why should I care if I'm her little baby or not? Well, the song's chorus interpolates the Ronettes' 1963 hit Be My Baby, with the original vocalist Ronnie Spector providing uncredited vocals, but she does appear in the music video. The song revitalized her career and was Eddie Money's biggest hit ever. If you don't know who Ronnie Spector is, but her last name seems familiar, then you might know the name of her former husband better, legendary Beatles collaborator Phil Spector. Wait, Phil Spector? Judges, did you just sneak in a song written by an alleged domestic abuser and convicted murderer, Phil Spector?
Hey, you can't prove that, Rusty.
Look, we're not doing this, okay? We're not having some sort of Gen X parade of musical bad guys in this round. The podcast is supposed to be a fun look back at nostalgic stuff from our youth, and the fun facts are here for jokes and a good time. You're bumming us out with all these monsters connected to these songs. Knock it off, judges. I guess I should just be thankful that Hitler didn't have much of a music career in the 90s, or else I'm sure you'd find some way to squeeze him into this next round. Oh, and speaking of the 90s, judges, I just want to say, God help you if there's some sort of off-color Courtney Love comment coming up for our 90s song to finish out this round. This is your last warning.
Oh, I'm so scared.
And finally, song number 3 is from the 1990s. Please tell me the artist and title of this final song played backwards. If you were alive in the summer of 1990, you heard this song on just about every radio station that played music. Writing credits for the song include Brian May, John Deacon, Roger Taylor, Freddie Mercury, David Bowie, Robert Van Winkle, and most important of all, Mario Johnson. Let's play the reveal and see if you're right.
If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while DJ revolves it.
Yes, that was indeed Robert Van Winkle, aka Vanilla Ice, with his co-written song Ice Ice Baby. The story of the song is steeped in intrigue, controversy, and debate. The music of the song samples the bass line to Queen / David Bowie's collaboration song called Under Pressure, which went uncredited when it was released and had to be settled out of court with Mr. Van Winkle. The last songwriter on this list has a much more mysterious Van Wrinkle to it. I'm sure you've heard the rumor that Death Row Records executive Suge Knight accosted Vanilla Ice in his hotel room and dangled him over the 15th-story balcony until he agreed to sign over some writing credit over to Suge Knight's client, Mario Johnson, from whom Suge would receive 25% as his fee. It was its own Gen X urban legend in the 1990s, and Vanilla Ice went on to do many interviews on the topic. But here's a clip from the first one where he discusses that fateful night on the balcony.
Talking publicly about it for the first time, Van Winkle describes a terrifying night in his suite at a Beverly Hills hotel when he says Suge Knight showed up with six other men.
Roughed one of my bodyguards up. They roughed everybody else and my whole entourage up. Suge took me out on the balcony, started talking to me personally.
On the balcony?
Like 15 floors. He had me look over the edge, show me how high I was up there. I needed to wear a diaper on that day. I was very scared.
Who is Mario Lavelle Johnson? His name is listed.
That's the guy that Suge Knight brought over there that was an acquaintance of mine that had nothing to do with that song.
You signed over the rights?
Signed over the rights to him so that Suge and them could get paid for it.
So Mario Lavelle Johnson didn't write that song?
No way.
How much were those points worth?
$3 to $4 million.
And you just signed them?
I signed them and walked away alive.
But in our primetime investigation, we found one court case after another in which Knight has pleaded guilty to criminal charges involving vicious assaults, beatings, a pistol whipping, and on and on.
What should be noted about those court filings mentioned here is that although the prosecutor in those cases began seeking to put Suge in prison for those alleged crimes, right before the verdict, he changed his mind and started advocating for Suge Knight. So much so that some of the cases were dropped and he received only probation for others. It was a miraculous change of heart by the prosecutor. Later, it was revealed that Suge Knight rented some property owned by that prosecutor for $19,000 a month. And, you know, he also signed his daughter to a record contract shortly thereafter. Turns out he was not the only one to have a change of heart about it, too. Here's Vanilla Ice talking about that night once again years later.
You're going 20-something years back.
Yeah, but they were great stories, though, because the story with Suge is they were holding you over a balcony.
Right, which never happened. I sat there and talked on the balcony, and that's where they polished up the story. All of a sudden, now they polished it up like he's hanging me over and my change is, like, come on, he's hanging me by my feet or
now,
something.
Now, what was he threatening you over?
He didn't threaten me. He just came in and said, listen, I understood who he was, what was going on. He didn't have to hang me from no balcony or slap me around. It never happened. In fact, it was really weird because he was nice. He was actually nice. He was never mean one time ever to me. He was always nice to me.
So I think it's pretty clear what's happening here. It doesn't take a genius to solve this mystery. What it is? Yes, judges? Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I see. As I was saying, it's not rocket science here. Suge Knight should be thought of as a legendary music entrepreneur who has launched the careers of many that have changed the rap and hip-hop world forever. In fact, it's clear to me that he is now actually the victim of character assassination. I shouldn't use the word assassination in connection with him. He's a misunderstood figure is what I'm trying to get to you here. That's what I'm trying to say. Vanilla Ice says he's a nice guy. The prosecutor was clearly swayed by the defense when he was on trial, in the same trial that he was prosecuting, no less. So that should carry a lot of weight here as well. It should be literally cased closed here. I would like to personally thank the judges for finally finding a song in this round that is not connected to a person who's a bad guy. Thank you for turning a full 180 on this thing and letting us know the real story to this Gen X urban legend. So to be clear here, our official fun fact for this one is that everything's cool here between the podcast and Suge Knight. Or as Chris Rock once said,
hey, Suge Knight, how you doing? Don't kill me. All right. Yeah.
Dang, that round kind of went off the railing here.
Word to your mother.
However, we hope that you enjoyed that round of Satanic Panic. Thanks again to the judges for their new theme song for this game. Stick around at the end of the episode where you can hear the entire song played there. We're going to take another listen to the power struggle for this episode, and then let's get back to some better trivia in round two. Round two of this episode is our Spotlight Trivia Round. We will dive into one Gen X topic to quiz you on. Each complete correct answer is worth 2 points if you know it outright, but if you need the hint or multiple choice, then it is worth only 1 point. I'll ask the questions and then circle back around to the answers at the end of the round. Good luck! The Spotlight topic for this episode was offered up as a suggestion from the poll we have up on our website. The person who left the suggestion didn't leave their name, so I don't know who to give credit to here, but the topic is the undisputed king of all transformable toys. That's right, we're talking about Transformers.
Autobots, transform and roll out!
We will discuss both the toys and the cartoon in this episode, and we will ignore the modern-day movie franchise because, you know. If you have a Spotlight topic you'd like to suggest for an upcoming episode of The Challenging Stage, then head over to our website at whowillsavegenx.com and let us know all about it in the poll question on the right-hand side of the site. Also, please be sure to leave your name so we know who to give a shout-out to on the episode. On this episode, however, we salute the unknown person who suggested Transformers, so here's to you.
Question number one.
The original toys and cartoons start out with the good Autobots and the evil Decepticons and a leader of each of these sides. Your question is, what are the names of these two Transformers that lead the Autobots and the Decepticons? If you know it right now, it's worth 2 points. But for 1 point, here is your multiple choice options. Is it A, Optimal Prime and Megatons? B, Rodimus Prime and Megatrans? C, Optimus Prime and Megatron? Or is it D, Optical Time and Megan Fox?
Question number 2.
The Transformers are alien sentient robots that find their way to present-day Earth. What is the original home of the Transformers? 2 points right now if you can name where they're from, but if you need a multiple choice to help you out, then here they are for 1 point. Is it A, a distant planet called Cybertron? B, the dark side of the moon? C, they are time travelers from Earth's distant future with their place of origin never fully revealed? D, they are from Saturn's largest moon, Titan? Or is it E, Detroit?
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
Question number 3.
One of the coolest things about Transformers were the combiner groups of toys that you could Voltron together to make one giant Transformer. Your question is, what is the name of the team of Decepticons that consisted of 6 green and purple colored construction vehicles called? If you know that group of Decepticons, right now it's worth 2 points. But for 1 point, here are your multiple choice options. Is it A, Constructicons? B, Fabricatacons? C, Engineeratrons? D, Architecticons? Or is it E, Build-A-Bots?
Question number 4.
The Transformers, the movie, is a 1986 feature film based on the Transformers television series. Set 20 years after the second season in the far distant future of 2005, the film featured the deaths of many characters, including, spoiler alert, Optimus Prime himself. Young Autobot Hot Rod used the power of the Autobots' talisman known as the Matrix of Leadership to become the new Autobot leader, Rodimus Prime. Your question here is, which young Hollywood actor of the 1980s was the voice of Rodimus Prime? If you know it right now, it's worth 2 points, but for 1 point, here's your multiple choice options. Is it A, Judd Nelson? B, Emilio Estevez? C, Ralph Macchio? D, John Cusack? Or is it E, Rowdy Roddy Piper?
And finally, question number 5.
The animated series has some veteran voice talent working on the show. Names like Peter Cullen, Frank Welker, Scatman Carruthers, and, of course, the legendary Casey Kasem all performed on the show. Your question is, what caused Casey Kasem to quit the show over moral objections? This one is a bit esoteric to score 2 points right now, but here are the multiple choice options for you to score 1 point. Was it A, Casey Kasem is a vegetarian and was offended over one episode where Grimlock, the transformed Tyrannosaurus Rex leader of the Dinobots, ate meat and said, "You'll never get strong eating only plants"? Was it B, Casey Kasem was close friends with Al and Tipper Gore, and they convinced him that he should not be involved with the children's shows that depicted violence, and Tipper thought he should stick to shows like Scooby-Doo instead? Was it C, Casey Kasem was raised in a Mormon household and felt a religious conviction to leave the show after an episode implied that the Transformers evolved to their current form from the machines that the robots transformed into? Was it D, he simply felt he wasn't getting paid enough and was quoted as saying, "I get twice as much as this just reading long distance dedication from effing losers over the radio"? Or is it E, being of Lebanese descent, Casey Kasem quit over the setting of one of the episodes that was a culturally harmful and mean-spirited parody of a Middle Eastern nation and was called the Socialist Democratic Federated Republic of Karbamia?
The countdown will begin this Saturday morning at 9 and again Sunday morning at 9 right here on Maine's most listened to radio station, I'm not going to say all that shit. How do I know they're the most listened to station?
Oh, I take their word for it. Okay, drop it out and just say right here on...
You know what I'm saying? I don't... Fuck it.
Now they had a little time to think about the questions. Here are the answers. What are the names of the two Transformers that lead the Autobots and Decepticons? The correct answer is option C. Optimus Prime leads the Autobots, and the Decepticons are led by Megatron. Optimus Prime transformed into a big rig truck, and Megatron from a gun. Wide receiver Calvin Johnson of the early 2000s Detroit Lions was given one of the NFL's greatest nicknames of all time in Megatron because he was more than meets the eye.
He launched it 50, 60 yards in the air, caught it on like 3 dudes.
Oh, Megatron, you did it again! Touchdown, Detroit Lions!
But prior to this, his nickname was Butterfingers. What is the home that the Transformers come from? The correct answer is A, a distant planet called Cybertron. As the first generation to experience chat rooms on the internet, the prefix cyber instantly makes you think whatever you're talking about sounds dirty. I'm not sure what kind of cybering is being done on Cybertron, but I'm sure that it produces a lot of these kinds of sounds. What were the team of Decepticons that consisted of six green and purple colored construction vehicles called? The answer is, of course, the Constructicons. The Constructicons are particularly notable for their status as being the very first combining subgroup of Transformers able to merge their bodies and minds together to form the gigantic Devastator. However, they weren't the last. Many other subgroups of Transformers were introduced to form their own giant Transformers in a never-ending arms race for power. I wonder what could have been happening in the real world during the 80s that would inspire these kinds of one-upsmanship for new and more powerful weapons.
Enough of this! Constructicons, merge into Devastator!
I have prepared for this emergency, Megatron. Combaticons, merge into Bruticus!
Bruticus, Devastate, Devastator!
Question four was, which young Hollywood actor in the 80s was the voice of Rodimus Prime in the 1986 feature film? The correct answer is A, Judd Nelson. The character of Hot Rod, aka Rodimus Prime, was voiced by many actors over the years, but when it came time to make the movie, they wanted some marquee power, so they went with the hot actor of the day in Judd Nelson. Although he was performing for something intended for kids, if you listen closely, you can still hear a little of The Breakfast Club's John Bender in his performance.
What was that universal greeting again? Never mind, I remember.
Ba-weep, Grana, weep, mini-bong.
You're a neo-maxi-zoom dweeby.
Question five. The last question of the round was, what caused Casey Kasem to roll out of the show over moral objections? The correct answer was option E, being of Lebanese descent. Casey quit over the setting of one episode that was a mean-spirited parody of Middle Eastern nations. So, in the episode called Thief in the Night, the Decepticons allied themselves with a rule-by-decree North African dictator who was a racist stereotype that is clearly meant to be a parody of Muammar Gaddafi of Libya.
As Supreme Military Commander, King of Kings, and President for Life of the Socialist Democratic Federated Republic of Carbonia, I order you Decepticons out of my country by sunset tomorrow.
There are allusions to this so-called line of death in the Mediterranean Sea.
And off on the starboard bow, we have the African nation of Carbonia.
Isn't it dangerous to cruise near here?
Yeah, sometimes innocent ships get attacked.
There's no danger, I assure you. As long as we stay beyond the 3-mile limit, no one will harm us. We're protected by international law!
And how the leader's using his oil reserves to terrorize the world.
It's made out of oil from Africa, from Carbonia.
Carbonia?
History has shown that Gaddafi was a human rights violator and clearly a bad guy. So to thumb your nose at that dude is not really a big deal. But what seemed to get under Casey Kasem's skin was all the other allusions to racial stereotypes going on in the episode. You can watch it yourself on YouTube and, you know, you could be the judge. But when you name your fictional country Carbonia, have a population sign that reads people 4,000, camels 10,000, and ends the episode with the leader swearing an oath on the grave of his mother's camel.
Oh, you have my word of honor, Rodimus. In fact, I swear to you on the grave of my mother's camel and my uncle's goat and even my sister's donkeys. And did I say my brother's sheep and my nephew's roosters? Such fine roosters you never did see.
That's a bit much for an after-school cartoon made for kids. So I kind of see where Casey Kasem's coming from here.
You know what I'm saying? I don't fuck it.
Let's quickly move on to round three.
Round three.
I'm the guy who normally asks the questions, but in this segment, we're going to turn things around and have one of our listeners ask the question to see if I can do my part to save Generation X. Our special guest host this episode comes to us from our Gen X answering machine available to you on our website. I have not heard these questions yet, so let's fire up that answering machine and take a listen to what we got.
Message one.
Hey, Zabe. Chris here with 5 trivia questions and a bonus on quotes from Monty Python and the Holy Grail. I use Python quotes as my live trivia team names, and all these are ones that I've used in the past in some form or fashion. You just need to fill in the blanks. I'll give you the scene and the number of words I'm looking for, and you just finish the quote. I hope the UK listeners will forgive my horrible attempt at the accent.
Well, Chris, we'll never know whether they forgive you for the accent or not because the British listeners don't ever reach out to us. Fill in the blank Monty Python quotes. I'm feeling pretty good about this. Let's go for it.
Question one. Swamp Castle, 3 words.
Don't like her. What's wrong with her? She's beautiful. She's rich. She's got huge.
She got huge tracts of land.
Tracts of land is my answer for that one.
Question two. French Castle, 3 words.
Are you sure he's got one?
Oh, yes.
This is a classic scene at the French castle, but it's so hard to understand what they're saying because they're
outrageous French accent.
But I think he says right there,
oh yes, it's very nice.
All right, I added the part, but let's be real here. I think you have to punctuate everything said in French with a We have no French listeners, so I don't got to worry about getting them upset. But if Casey Kasem was French and he was listening to this episode, he'd definitely turn it off right about now.
I don't fuck it.
Question three, Killer Rabbit, 4 words.
4 shalt thou not count, neither count thou 2, excepting that thou then proceed to 3.
I think I got this one.
5 is right out.
Let me translate that to English. 5 is right out.
Question 4. A witch, 4 words.
If she weighs the same as a duck.
If she weighs the same as a duck, she's made of wood. And therefore, a witch, a witch! Ah!
Question 5. Opening credits, 3 words. We apologize for the fault in the subtitles. Those responsible...
Those responsible have been sacked. As a kid, I had no idea what sacked meant. I thought it was a football reference. And then I realized, wait, they don't play football in England. They play soccer, but they think it's called football. But it's not. Football is football. And then I just think, oh, Gilligan, we'll never get off this island. But for those of you listening out there, sacked means they've been fired. They are no longer employed, is what that means. They have lost their jobs.
And the bonus question. The executive producer of the film is John Goldstone and blank the Wonder Llama. Just looking for the name of the llama. That's it. Hope you enjoyed it. And keep on saving Gen X, my friend.
Ooh, this is a good one. I'm glad it's a bonus question so it doesn't count to the final score because I don't think I'm going to get it. I remember there being something about a llama or something like that, but I can't remember the name of the llama. So I'll just go with, the default answer, if you don't know it, is, 69, the Wonder Llama.
69, dudes!
All right, let's hear the answers and see how I did.
Message 2.
And now, the answers to the Python trivia questions, as if you need them. Number 1, she's got huge tracts of land. Number 2, oh yes. Is very nice. Number 3.
5 is right out.
Number 4. She's made of wood. Number 5. Those responsible have been sacked. And the bonus, it's rough, of course.
End of messages.
Ah, Ralph the Wonder Llama. Yeah, that's ringing a bell. Well, 5 out of 6 ain't too bad. Pretty happy with that performance. But I'm even happier that you came up with this game and brought it to our attention. Chris, thank you so much. I think we need to have a little bit more fill-in-the-movie quotes type games on upcoming episodes. Judge, just put that into development, will you? Let's get that going. Chris, if you ever want to come on the podcast as a guest, please let me know. We'd love to have you. You are doing your part to save Generation X from being forgotten. Well done. Listeners, if you would like to try your hand at guest hosting this segment and share your trivia knowledge of the fun things of Generation X, just like Chris here did today, then send the judges an email at whowillsavegenx@gmail.com and let's talk about it. Or, even better, go to our website at whowillsavegenx.com and leave us a voicemail. Just tap on that blue microphone icon in the lower right part of your screen and leave us a message. It's free to use, and your voice might be used on an upcoming episode of the show. We have set this up so you can ask us some Gen X pop culture trivia questions for the show, but really, anything you have in your mind about the show, our generation, or what you want to share with us is fair game on the voicemail. We're hoping that you will reach out and at least just say hi. The last segment of the challenging stage is to give answers to the power struggle from past shows. But before we do that, let's hear a quick word from our sponsor.
The Transformers will return after these messages.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hey, have you ever thought about giving us a positive review on the podcast platform where you found us? We have found listeners who have on Apple Podcasts, and a listener named Daisy, but spelled with two Y's and several U's and an H on the end for some reason. So I guess it's from Daisy. They write, highly recommend this game show for all generations. It goes into trivia of classic movies, music, and pop culture. There are different types of games played that keeps it entertaining. I'd recommend this to anyone who wants a little nostalgia or just want a refresher on what was popular during the 80s. Thank you, Daisy. Reviews like this really help others find the show and puts the podcast in front of new listeners. We greatly appreciate you taking the time to give us that review. Thanks so much. Listeners, if you leave us a review somewhere, then please let us know about it and where you left it for us, and your review might get a shout out on an upcoming episode, just like this one did. We look forward to reading what you think about the show. Thanks so much.
So who's gonna save our generation? Are you gonna save our generation? Who will save Generation X?
Now return to the Transformers.
Before we leave, we are going to reveal the answers to a past show power struggle. On our two-year anniversary special that featured the lovely and talented Trish the Dish, we had a power struggle question, and it sounded just like this. Okay, let's reveal the answers now. Clip 1 was from the Nickelodeon show Inspector Gadget. Clip 2 was from the arcade classic Centipede. Clip 3 was from a song by The Jam that was titled A Town Called Malice. Clip 4 was from the Bionic Woman, but we would also accept the $6 Million Man as well. And finally, clip 5 was from the movie Three Amigos. We will reveal more Power Struggle answers on future episodes of The Challenging Stage. Well, that's it for this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. We welcome you to contact us and let us know what you think of it, especially the Satanic Panic song. Should the judges make more of these jingles? Your feedback is always appreciated, and thanks again for checking out the show. As always, we welcome you to share it with that special Gen Xer in your life and subscribing to the show for future episodes where we will once again ask the question, who will save Generation X? Later. And now, the full song, written and performed by the judges. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Satanic Panic.
Could it be...
Satanic panic, all the rage. PMRC clutching, clutching, oh, clutching parents, they're on every page. Dungeons and dragons, darkened skies, the exorcist whispers.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.